One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I feel like I'm constantly reminding myself that we are all carrying around different stressors, big and small. But when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. And naturally, that can start to affect everything else around us, too. Therapy can be a safe place to get things off your chest and figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. I know that therapy isn't for everyone, but it definitely has benefited me in the past with learning how to sit with my feelings, set boundaries with people, and I don't know, learn how to function with a little less shame. But if you are thinking of starting therapy and access has been hard for you, maybe BetterHelp is the right fit. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient. You can get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/makeyourbed today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/makeyourbed. Good morning, sunshine. Welcome to another day of the Make Your Damn Bed podcast. Today, we are jumping into week 6 of The Artist's Way. And this week is all about recovering a sense of abundance. Julia Cameron says, "This week, you tackle a major creative block, money. You're asked to really look at your own ideas around God and money and creative abundance. The essays will explore the ways in which your attitudes may limit abundance and creativity and luxury in your current life. You will be introduced to counting, a blockbusting tool for clarity and the right use of funds. This week may feel volatile." She starts this chapter out with a little story, and then she says this: "For many of us, raised to believe that money is the real source of security, a dependence on God feels foolhardy. When we consider the lilies of the field, we think that they are quaint, too out of it for the modern world. We're the ones who keep clothes on our back. We're the ones who buy the groceries. And we will pursue our art, we tell ourselves, when we have enough money to do it easily. But when will that be? We want our God to feel like a fat paycheck and a license to spend as we please. Listening to the siren song of more, we are deaf to the still small voice waiting in our own soul to whisper, 'You're enough now.' Even if we believe God will provide us with the essentials, a lot of us struggle to believe that he will supply us with the luxuries, that dance class in Europe, painting supplies, a museum tour. Our faith tends to remain in the dollar. 'I have to keep a roof over my head,' we say. 'Nobody's going to pay me to be more creative.' And we are awfully sure about that. Most of us harbor a secret belief that work has to be work and not play. And anything we really want to do, like write or act or dance, must be considered frivolous and placed a distant second. But this is not true. We are operating out of the toxic old idea that God's will for us and that our will for us are at opposite ends of the table. Thinking like this is grounded in the idea that God is a stern parent with a rigid idea about what's appropriate for you or me or us. And you'd better believe we don't like them." She says this stunted God concept needs alteration. She encourages us to spend this week writing about our God, the God we believe in. and then writing about the God you'd like to believe in. This task for me was interesting because I don't not believe in a higher power or a God, but I'm definitely more spiritual than organized in my religion because the experiences I've had in the church have not always been pleasant. But I'm not the type of person to say that something doesn't exist just because I haven't seen it. But I'm tentative around my views of God because a lot of people misuse God's name to control and abuse. And like she said, that makes us resentful. And it makes God less attractive as a concept. But this digging into my own current beliefs versus what I think I would like my God to feel like or be like was a really enlightening practice for myself because I'd never really thought about that. Instead, I put God into tidy little boxes that society has created for him or them or it as a concept. She says, for some of us, this might mean asking, what if God's a woman and she's on my side? For others, we might realize that God is an energy. And for others, maybe God is a collective of higher forces, moving us towards our highest good. She does say, if you are still dealing with a God consciousness that has remained unexamined since childhood, you are probably dealing with a toxic God. What would a non-toxic God think of your creative goals? Might such a God really exist? If so, would money or your job or your lover remain your higher power? She goes on to say, many of us equate difficulty with virtue and art with fooling around. Hard work is good. A terrible job must be building our moral fiber. Something, a talent for painting, say, that comes to us easily and seems compatible with us must be some sort of cheap trick, not to be taken seriously. And as someone with a self-proclaimed complicated relationship with spirit and God and the universe, I found this quote to be particularly moving. She says, on one hand, we give lip service to the notion that God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. On the other, we secretly think that God wants us to be broke if we're going to be so decadent as to want to be artists. She asks us to look for proof when it comes to verifying these more negative ideas about God. Now, this is a little foo-foo for my beliefs, but I still love it, so I'm reading it to you. She says, looking at God's creation, it is pretty clear that the creator itself did not know when to stop. There is no one pink flower, or even 50 pink flowers, but hundreds. Snowflakes, for example, are the ultimate exercise in sheer creative glee. No two are alike. She says, the creator looks suspiciously like someone who just might send us support for our creative ventures. There is the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous promises for recovering alcoholics has a really beautiful quote about God that I want to share. It says, we have a new employer. If we take care of God's business, he will take care of ours. But Juliet reminds us that to those less desperate, these assurances might sound foolish, even deceptive, like we're being conned. This is why we often blame our drudgery and the lack of following our cherished dreams on God. We blame God for the reason we weren't able to make it to Europe or to take that painting class or to go to that photo shoot. In truth, it was us, not God, who decided not to go. We tried to be sensible, though we have no proof that God wants us to be. Jumping ahead a bit, she says, creativity is not and never has been sensible. Why should it be? Why should you be? Do you still believe that there is some moral virtue in being martyred? If you want to make some art. Just a little. Two sentences a day, one rhyme, a silly kindergarten ditty. She says, making art begins with getting into the now and enjoying your day. It begins with giving yourself some small treats and breaks. The good attitude to take when treating your artist to small bribes and beauties is, this is extravagant, but so is God. And try to remember that you are the cheapskate, not God. If you haven't noticed, throughout this book, I typically steer away from the spiritual God stuff, but this chapter particularly has a reliance on spirit or the universe or God to help us learn to have faith in the abundance mindset. But this quote here really inspired the shit out of me. She says, "What we really want to do is what we are really meant to do. When we do what we're meant to do, money comes to us. Doors open for us. We feel useful. And the work we do feels like play. But we first have to stop reciting the rules that society placed on us. Like, it's hard to get money. You have to work long hours for money. You need to worry about money first and creativity second." Tomorrow, I'll introduce her section on luxury. But I first want to say, when rich white women talk about money, it's obviously from a different place than those of us who are struggling to pay our bills, especially in times like this where inflation is at an all-time high and wages are at an all-time low. But I genuinely do believe the mindsets around it are important to take note of and to start becoming more conscious about, because as we do so as a practice, we'll start to figure out what was societally based, what was reality based, and what was internally based. Because unfortunately, unless you come from money or have a security blanket, there will be times you do have to prioritize money over creativity. But I do love the concept that they don't have to be mutually exclusive. Maybe you can start infusing more creativity into your day job where you can. And maybe she's right in saying that you can start prioritizing creativity outside of work. And you might realize it opens doors and financial opportunities of abundance that you never knew possible had you not given yourself the freedom to try. I love you so much. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow while you make your damn bed. Goodbye, beautiful.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.